This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Crafting a budget, renewing Medicaid expansion, voting on a new redistricting plan, just a few of the issues ahead this year in Ohio politics. Later in the show, a look at the big political stories to watch for in Ohio in 2015. And in Focus on Technology, the role of big data in the criminal justice system. First up this afternoon, it's not easy being an entrepreneur or starting a new company. The odds are against you, with more than half of all new businesses failing within 4 years. And the failure rate for nonprofit organizations is even higher. But two local groups are providing free business legal services to help small businesses and nonprofits succeed. And here to discuss their efforts are Professor Barbara Wagner, director of the NKU Chase College of Law, Small Business and Nonprofit Law Clinic, and Aaron Childs, Executive Director of Pro Bono Partnership of Greater Cincinnati. Thanks to both of you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
And Barbara, start off by talking about, why did NKU Chase College of Law start the Small Business and Nonprofit Law Clinic?
Well, it's really a two-part reason. Part of it, obviously, is to train law students. These are typically third-year students who have had 2 years of courses and are now trying to really learn the skills of being a lawyer. But obviously, the outreach to the community is the same thing, to be able to provide service. We provide free legal services to small businesses and nonprofits, not on the advocacy litigation side, but really helping them set up the business, draft contracts, things like that.
It's more what's called the transactional side. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Which means contracts, documents, incorporation, things like that, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, talk about how did the Pro Bono Partnership of Greater Cincinnati get started?
Great, thanks. We actually are brand new here to Cincinnati. We opened our doors this October. We are based on the hugely successful Pro Bono Partnership out of New York. They've been around since 1997. And we're based on the recognition that there are all these wonderful corporate transactional attorneys in town that, for whatever reason, don't want to take legal aid cases and do the advocacy and litigation. So the idea is that what they do is provide advice to for-profit businesses every day, and those skills are directly transferable to nonprofits in almost every situation. And the nonprofits here in town, a lot of them don't have the time, the money, or their energy to devote to legal questions. And so we're here to help them do that with some of the best attorneys in town and give them free advice if they qualify.
Barbara, how many clients does the clinic serve?
Well, it varies. We function only during the academic semesters. Last semester, we had a total of 20 clients. I typically try to choose clients and projects that we can complete in a 3 month period when the students are working, because I get quite a bit of turnover in the students, and I like to have some continuity. Although we will represent a client on a repeat basis, so. This past semester, we've had as few as 15 and as many as 25 in a given semester.
And Aaron, how many clients does the partnership work with?
Since October, we have taken applications from about 20 nonprofits on maybe 30 or 35 different matters. But, you know, we have no limit. We're only limited by our attorney volunteer. So we're hoping to grow.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Barbara, talk about why you decided to become involved from a personal level with this project.
Oh, that's a great story, because I have practiced for over 30 years, both in New York and then in Cincinnati. I worked for Chiquita, and when it moved to North Carolina a couple of years ago, started looking for other things to do and got this job teaching at Northern Kentucky. And of course, my interest was not so much standing in a classroom and lecturing, but really giving students the skills they need, you know, whether it's interviewing clients, learning how to give a client bad news, trying to really tailor the issues the client has to, you know, the sort of general. The student may know some general legal principle, but learning how to really say, yeah, but that's not really relevant. The client really needs this question answered and doesn't need to know all those other things you'd throw into the law school exam to tell your professor how smart you are.
Is that client interaction one of the toughest parts of being an attorney?
Some students have a wonderful knack for it. Some students, it takes a little practice, but it's for me, it's certainly the most fun. And I always tell students what they have to do is plan. Not only, they're used to doing something, handing it in and being done. I say no. You do a draft. You give me the draft. I give you comments. Then we give it to the client. And then surprise, surprise, the client has comments. And that's the most fun for the students when they realize the clients are asking questions and they can answer them. Or the client is asking, oh, I forgot to tell you this one thing. I had one student who had worked all semester on a project and had to basically totally redo it because the client said, oh, I forgot to tell you these three things. And everything she had done was totally irrelevant. So she had a big flurry of activity the last 2 weeks of the semester.
Welcome to real life, though.
Exactly. It was great training.
Erin, why did you, on a personal level, why did you get involved with the partnership?
As soon as I heard about it, a friend who had done some work with the pro bono partnership helping get him off the ground told me about it, and it's my dream job. I feel so fortunate to be a part of it. As an attorney myself, it's great to still be involved in the legal community and get to reach out to our supporters. Our volunteers come from the big Fortune 500 companies here in town and also the law firms, so to get to go out and meet with all these attorneys who are so excited to volunteer, and then to get to go out to these nonprofits, these small nonprofits who are doing amazing work here in Cincinnati, and meet with them and understand what they do and, you know, try to gauge what their legal needs are so we can make a connection with an attorney. It's such a privilege. And the things that are going on in the city with the tiny nonprofits, it's amazing. I mean, they're so important that they stay here.
You know, we talk about the failure rate for nonprofits being so much higher than that for even a startup business. Why is that, that it's so much tougher to start a nonprofit organization?
Well, most people don't start a nonprofit because they have a passion for corporate governance or making sure their policies and bylaws and things like that are in place. They start a nonprofit because they feel a passion for their mission and the people that they serve. And, you know, lots of nonprofits grow organically. Maybe the founder of the nonprofit was the one who was on the ground doing the work, and then it was something that became bigger, and then they hire an executive director, and then they hire employees, and they grow and grow and grow and are so focused on their mission that, you know, all that other stuff kind of gets pushed to the back burner, and it's expensive to hire an attorney. And these are, you know, things that lots of people don't think about. So what we're trying to do is kind of help the nonprofits that qualify from, you know, the bottom, making sure their articles of incorporations and bylaws and, you know, all of their basic policies and documents are in good shape, and then help them grow from there. You know, and then when they have contracts that come in that they need a question of, or if they have an HR question, you know, we can kind of serve as general counsel for those nonprofits and make sure they are equipped with the best information to make good decisions.
And, you know, one of the things that we've found, because we represent both small businesses and nonprofits, and it both on the for-profit side and the nonprofit side, there are people who have a wonderful idea, but to get from the idea to actually turning it into a legal and business entity. So we have people with a great idea, but they don't really quite know what a balance sheet is or income statement. And, you know, a nonprofit has to file at least a simple return with the IRS. And if they don't know how to keep track of their money and know how much money they're spending and what they need coming in. Sometimes, you know, we realize they come to us and they don't really have legal issues, and we try to refer them for business counseling to help make sure they can really get their entities organized and come up with a business plan and figure out if this is really going to work.
You know, on the for-profit side, Barbara, there are a lot of people who think, oh, I'll start my own business. It can't be that difficult, can it? And they find out along the way that it really is a tough thing to do. Just from the legal side alone, there's a lot of things that new businesses have to be thinking about, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I've talked to some clients who say, you know, I'm so worried about who my clients or my customers are and where my money's going to come from. I'm not even thinking about the legal issues. But as they grow and develop, it may be anything from first of all, setting up a legal entity, figuring out if they're partners, you know, what the relationship is between them, whether they're in an LLC or a corporation or literally just partners, and how their decision making is going to work, who has the power to make certain decisions. These are the things that lawyers help ask. And then you get into questions like raising money, borrowing money, an employee handbook, really simple basic issues that can really make the big difference, and advising them on creating a contract so that they aren't going to be fighting with their customers all the time.
So if you do all this work ahead of time, it keeps you out of court in the future, doesn't it?
We certainly
That's
hope
the idea.
So.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Erin, it's without a doubt it's tough to start a small business. How can legal services help increase the odds of success for a new organization, be it a nonprofit organization or a for-profit organization?
Absolutely. Well, like Barbara was saying, you know, businesses have basic requirements, even just, for example, a nonprofit, they have to file a 1099 every year. And if they don't file it, you know, a small nonprofit, it's a one page, easy to do form. But if they don't file it and they don't do it for 3 years, then their nonprofit status is automatically revoked. They're out of business. I've been contacted by a few nonprofits who thought, you know, their accountant was filing their 1099 or they didn't know they had to do it. And that's, you know, if you can't do that very basic thing, you don't get to give an excuse for why you didn't do it. Your nonprofit status, it's gone, you know, and some of these small nonprofits want a more active board of directors, you know, a board that can help them fundraise or, you know, just help them get their name out there. But when you're on a board, do you have fiduciary responsibilities? And people won't join the board of a nonprofit that doesn't have a very basic, solid business setting. And so the idea is if they have all these basic things in place, when, you know, real estate issues come up or if there's, you know, an employment issue, that the organization will be able to handle that moving forward.
So, Barbara, legal issues can really be a big stumbling block, can't they, for a new organization?
Oh, absolutely. Although, you know, we really try to help them see that life is not all legal stumbling blocks. We're really trying to help them say, okay, these are all things to think about, but they don't all have to be tackled on day one. And we help them prioritize what their legal issues are so they don't give up before they start. And on the other hand, we have some people who come in, whether they're setting up a business or a nonprofit, and say, you know, maybe you should try and find some other organization that's already doing this. Maybe mm-hmm. you can work with them and learn how they do it and learn from them. Or maybe you can, instead of creating your own nonprofit, work with another nonprofit that has a similar business, and maybe you can become a sort of project under the larger nonprofit.
What are the eligibility requirements to be a client at the clinic?
Okay, so the general rules, and we represent small businesses and nonprofits in both Ohio and Kentucky, and we are governed by the, believe it or not, the legal ethics rules, the professional responsibility. We are not supposed to be taking business away from lawyers who are representing small businesses. So we're supposed to be representing in the law school environment with a no cost clinic, small businesses and nonprofits that couldn't otherwise afford legal services. There's no hard and fast rule. It's not based on a flat revenue or income level. We look at family income. We don't, you know, even if it's a small startup business, if it happens to be the spouse of an executive at a large corporation, we're probably not going to represent them. But if it's someone who's maybe trying to do this on a moonlighting basis and has a day job, but they can barely make ends meet and they're trying to set up their little, you know, their heart's desire of a graphic design business or something, you know, we try to help them. It's, you know, for one semester, the work that the students do is probably takes them many more hours than it would take a practicing attorney, but we aren't trying to steal work away from the practicing bar.
And Erin, in the case of the partnership, what are the eligibility requirements for clients?
Sure. All nonprofits, they have to be a 501c3 already. We do not incorporate new nonprofits. They have to serve low-income or disadvantaged people or somehow be enhancing the quality of life here in Cincinnati. They have to be located in the greater Cincinnati area. That's between Cincinnati and Dayton. Right now, we are not in northern Kentucky, but we hope to grow there. And they also have to be unable to pay for legal services without significantly impairing their programs. The idea is that the work is being done by volunteer attorneys, and we can't be asking those attorneys who were getting paid by these clients last week to then volunteer on behalf of them this week. Our focus is really on these small nonprofits who have been having their best case scenario, you know, cousins, brother, friend, or a board member who's a lawyer, do their legal work. You know, the idea is to bring all this great volunteering done by attorneys to the forefront and really find the best attorney for each job. So when nonprofits volunteer with us, what we do is we send out volunteer opportunities to our volunteers twice a month. And what that is an email that lists the name of the nonprofit, a sentence or two about their mission with their website so the attorneys can go and check them out, and then the exact legal work the nonprofits are looking for. So the same nonprofit may show up on our list 3 or 4 times, but if you're an employment attorney, you scroll down to all the employment matters. If you're a trademark attorney, you scroll down to the intellectual property matters. So the idea is that the nonprofits are getting the best legal advice for each issue.
We'll continue our conversation after the break, and you can join in at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Cincinnati Edition is sponsored by the Hale and Johnson Foundations, now investing in individuals via People's Liberty. You can learn more about grant and residency opportunities at peoplesliberty.org.
Support comes from Downsizing Made Easy, How to Organize, Declutter, and Discover the Value of Your Treasures, a seminar open to the public January 10th at 10 a.m. at the Centennial Barn. Sponsored by Decently and In Order, Residential Decluttering. For more information, you can call 513-761-3700 or visit decentlyandinorder.us. Support comes from I1 Unique Eyewear, Hyde Park Square's original optical shop. I1, with over 3,000 European design frames, including Oliver Goldsmith, Cutler & Gross, Lenore, Barton Pereira, Oliver Peoples, and ready-made readers. i-1.com, also in the shops of Oakwood and Dayton.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests are Professor Barbara Wagner, director of the NKU Chase College of Law, Small Business, and Nonprofit Law Clinic, and Aaron Childs, executive director of Pro Bono Partnership of Greater Cincinnati. As we talk about the legal services their organizations offer small businesses, you can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk first with Frank in Hamilton. Good afternoon, Frank. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, thank you for taking my call today.
You're very welcome.
I've got a idea for a nonprofit where I would be serving individuals with intellectual disabilities by providing people in their homes to help them take care of their daily needs. I have a business plan and essentially a code of conduct for the individual, for the employees. And I was wondering if you guys or somebody would be able to look through that and give me pointers on what needs to improve.
Yes. I'm sorry, what was his name?
Frank.
Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank, this is Barbara Wagner. And I guess I would say we certainly help nonprofits with those kinds of questions. It sounds like you haven't actually created an entity yet. So if you're really, you know, set on going the nonprofit route, creating an entity and filing with the IRS to get nonprofit status may be one of the first steps you need to do. On the other hand, if you're really just trying to say, is this business plan really going to work? And is this going to, you know, is this going to make sense? Are there other ways I can do it? Certainly something, you know, we could look at. I of course want to say that these are students who have not been doing this for years. So, we pick and choose the projects that we do. But in terms of a general approach, we are not going to be an expert on what issues, you know, there are in the home with disabilities, and it would not be worth my students' time to spend a lot of time researching, you know, regulations on exactly what services you should offer. But if it's general approach to how you run it, that'd be certainly something we could look at.
Frank, this is Aaron Childs with the Pro Bono Partnership. We do not incorporate new nonprofits, but if you wanted to reach out to us, we have a lot of connections within the community of people who do this type of work, whether it be someone who could incorporate for you, such as Barbara. There's a clinic over at the University of Cincinnati College of Law run by Lou Goldfarb. There's also a nonprofit law committee through the Cincinnati Bar Association. If what you're looking for is someone to incorporate you, if you have, you know, you're looking to talk to maybe a nonprofit consultant, there are great organizations here in Cincinnati that focus on walking nonprofits through some of these issues. The Executive Service Corps is a great one. There's a lot of consultants that work exclusively with people who want to run nonprofits. So we'd be happy to give you any of that information.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Frank, thank you for your phone call. Let's talk with Claire and Clifton. Good afternoon, Claire. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Barbara and Aaron, for these great resources you've brought to Cincinnati. I'm calling on behalf of an organization, Impact 100, and my call is more of that of gratitude. The Pro Bono Partnership has helped us with contract creation, and we invest $100,000 grants in our nonprofit community through our collective giving network. And the Pro Bono Partnership really helped us create a grant agreement that we felt comfortable from a liability perspective. We felt comfortable from a transactional perspective. And it's really because of you that we have taken our process to a whole new level. So thank you.
Thanks for the call, Claire. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Claire. That's wonderful. And Impact 100, your growth is impressive. We're looking forward to working with you more in the future.
There's a success story. What are some of the other success stories that you've seen from the pro bono partnership?
Yes. Well, like I said, we've been in existence since October. So a lot of the things that we've helped people with are just some of the basic formational documents. I go out and reach out to the really small nonprofits, the ones, you know, who have never talked with an attorney, the ones who have had their brother's cousin's friend draft some of their documents and, you know, things like employee handbooks and reviewing lease agreements. I mean, these are things that keep executive directors of these small nonprofits up at night because they know if a former employee were to bring suit against them, that's something that, you know, those are potentially door shuttering occurrences. We have done, a lot. One of the things that we did early on was we held our first seminar for nonprofits. Over 85 nonprofit attendees came, and it was an introduction to employment law, what every nonprofit needs to know. And we had one of our great volunteer attorneys, Scott Carroll from Jackson Lewis. He led a panel discussion that just kind of, you know, just a room full of nonprofits. Have you all thought about these things? You know, wage and hour claims, they're coming to nonprofits, and those are huge, and they could close down a nonprofit. And, you know, here are things that your employee manual should have. Here are things that, you know, if you haven't updated it in 10 years that you should look at. And we got a lot of calls after that from nonprofits saying, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that was an issue. You know, can you please help? So the idea is that through these seminars and outreach that we really are going to strengthen the nonprofits here in Cincinnati.
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing I've also noticed, though, which is compared to when I started practicing law, when everything in the law was like a big, deep mystery and you had to go to a lawyer. Nowadays, people pull things off the internet. And we have people, I mean, we have some people, small businesses come in. Oh yeah, I've already formed my LLC. I've did all the filings with the Secretary of State of Kentucky or Ohio. They have no clue what that means, but mm-hmm. they filed the forms. Or, you know, I drafted a contract. I just pulled some stuff off the internet. But again, they say now I drafted it, but tell me if this really makes sense and does this really work? So it's sometimes it's really just giving people a pat on the back saying, no, this will work fine for your purposes. And sometimes it's saying, well, do you really want that provision? Does that really make sense?
Let's talk with Alon in Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Alon. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, I definitely fall into that category.
Okay.
I run a mom and pop shop. My wife and I formed an LLC. I formed an LLC for my wife and I, both in Kentucky and in Ohio. This is our 13th year in business. You know, we both just have, well, she has a GED. I have a high school diploma. And, you know, I've filed my articles of organization and my, reserved a business name on the Secretary of State's website, got an occupational license, and went to work. You know, I run a service company with my wife in the real estate industry, and, you know, we basically work for ourselves. We don't have any employees, so hence we have no employee handbook. And I guess this leads to my question. I'm just wondering if you've ever dealt with a small LLC partnership, you know, husband and wife team, where you're having unusual issues, you know, like, for instance, you know, we've lived in four different settings in these 12 years. So sometimes we've had a private office where, you know, we could just work any time of day or night. And
so you're saying you're pretty,
or whatever, and it worked.
You're saying you're pretty loose organization is what you're saying, then. I take it.
I am, but the question, I guess, would be, you know, have you ever dealt with anything like now I have an apartment where I've got to quit at 8:30 p.m. And, you know, it's like we have these kind of issues or like, you know, there was a point in time where my wife wanted to control. I mean, we have a flow chart, you know, like I do the bookkeeping.
Alon, I hate to interrupt, but we're a little short on time. Let's have Barbara and Aaron go ahead and kind of address your issue that you're bringing up.
So I was just going to say, Alon, I'm not sure those sound like legal issues. Those sound like management issues of how to run your business and figuring out how you and your wife are going to, you know, make decisions and what you're going to do in what location that, you know, how you have to focus or address based on where you're living. But it's certainly something that I think sometimes we do deal with husband and wife businesses, and sometimes you have to step back from being husband and wife mm-hmm. and say, okay, now we're speaking to each other just as the people that run the business.
How can people get more information about your organizations, Erin?
Sure. The best way to get information about the Pro Bono Partnership is to go to our website. It's ProBonoCincy, C-I-N-C-Y, www.crafting.org, and that'll have attorney applications, nonprofit applications, and general information.
Barbara, what about
that? Likewise, you can find information about the Chase Small Business and Nonprofit Law Clinic on the Chase Law School or the College of Law website. You have to click through a couple of links. I think you already have a link on the
WBXU website. Yes, we have links on the WBXU website for both.
And I will point out for the clinic, there is an application. We have both a for-profit and a nonprofit application. If you can't answer every question, answer as many of the questions as you can to submit the application. But that's the very first step to come into the clinic is to fill out the application.
Barbara and Aaron, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Professor Barbara Wagner, director of the NKU Chase College of Law, Small Business and Nonprofit Law Clinic, and Aaron Childs, executive director of Pro Bono Partnership of Greater Cincinnati. After the break, what to watch out for this year in Ohio politics, and in focus on technology, how Kentucky's criminal justice system is using big data. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.